ain't no party like a shaman afi party, cause a shaman afi party don't stop. Until you are lying face down in a Renraku waste treatment facility, rethinking the choices you made last night that led you to drink my absinthe without asking, and making some racist jokes about some work friends of mine, thinking I'd be cool with that, and instead of reacting well when I offered to talk about my feelings, you decided to posture in front of your other racist friends, leading me to play an epic prank on you and your buddies by turning you all into goo, mixing you together with raven poo, and videotaping your eventual messy return into your normal forms while smelling of shite and writhing naked with four of your closest friends. See you on the Matrix, chummer. Coming to you straight from the most reliably biased source on the Matrix, this is the Anarchy and Podcasting Network, and I am a sick Opti. But the truth, like my heart, must go on. Welcome to the Neo-Anarchist Podcast. It is hard to believe, Little Crows, that we have passed the 25-episode mark with little fanfare, but there it is. Should we make shirts or something? You Little Crows want some swag you can wear at runners' gatherings? I tell you, you see some chummer sporting a lined coat with a Neo-Anarchist Podcast t-shirt underneath, you know that they are legit. Well, ain't nobody got time for that. Unless you do. Draw something. Make a shirt. Spray paint an anarchy logo on an old rag. Show me what you got. Enough trifle. On to the truth! Here are the events and imports of the year of our Lord, 2056. In the politics sector, June 22nd sees the UCAS grant citizenship to a dragon. That's right. Dunkel Zahn himself becomes a card-carrying member of the UCAS and gathers up his belongings from his previous home on Lake Louise and settles into Prince Edward Island. This is all lovingly commemorated by President Steele and Big D shaking hands. And it should be no surprise, this set Steele skyrocketing in the polls. I should note that despite the possibility being on the books since 2036, Big D was the first non-homo sapien to be granted citizenship, proving once again that if you have enough money and enough power, even the most racist and selfish among us can be moved to inclusion. On July 5th, those upstart Yucatan rebels accidentally destroy a ferry carrying more than 200 passengers, giving Azatlan some grist for their spin machine and painting the rebels with an unpopular brush. Later that summer, during the lead-up to the Summer Olympics, 60% of the invited nations decide not to participate in the games in order to protest Japan's ban on metahumans. The International Olympic Committee canceled the 2060 Olympics in response. On September 13th, UCS border agents round up some terrorists trying to bring nuclear warheads into the country. The info received from the captured group reveal that an unknown radical group called Winter Night is responsible. In the California Free State, a bomb explodes on October 25th at the Liberation Day Parade in San Francisco, taking the lives of 15. November 7th brought about Election Day in the UCS and the CAS, in which no serious challenge was presented, and Thomas Steele and Oliver Jackson were elected presidents of their respective nations with very little hubbub. Many called it the dullest election of the 21st century. However, some suspect that the boring elections may have been boring by design. Behind the scenes, some in the UCAS House start to look for evidence of untoward election practices. And as a result, in late December, the election results of 2056 are found to have been rigged. The House Speaker declared the UCAS election null and void and announced a new election. Shortly after, Congress approved a short campaign season of just under 8 months, with Election Day rescheduled to Tuesday, August 7th, 2057. On the corporation front, April 28th in the Allied German states saw conflict erupt between Proteus AG and AG Chemie, leading to full-blown war at the Proteus-owned Helgoland facility. The war reached its end when the great dragon Nachtmeister stood with Proteus, giving them the victory. Later in May, Proteus AG shut down that facility, which they said was for rebuilding. In July, Truman Technologies moved their headquarters from Chicago to LA in the California Free State. And with all the things going on in Bug City, who could blame them? In mid-December, Proteus AG announced that it would construct a fully underwater arcoblock near Romo Island in the Allied German states. And following up on our bug infestation news from last time, giant hives of insect spirits were uncovered in several large cities in India, as well as in Malaysia, when the neo-communist movement was revealed to have been led by a cabal of insect spirits, which leads to widespread terror and confusion. In Constantinople, Ares joined forces with Kurdish mercenaries in order to destroy a hive of bug spirits that had taken root. And your 2056 magic hubbub goes down like this. In January, Dr. Michael Nixon founds the Aleph Society and claims every person alive has the potential to be awakened. He says that he learned that from an ancient Atlantean book, the Book of Geth, Theron, I think, bound with orichalcum. Now, I don't want you to be caught unawares, little crows. These Aleph Society goons are still out there. These hoop busters made quite a name for themselves back in the 50s by going after mundanes and burnout mages and offering them the ability to use magic. As it turns out, it wasn't by unlocking your inner potential, but rather by practicing blood magic, sharing essence with a dark entity, and binding yourself to its control. So everything seems frags and giggles for a few weeks, and then all of a sudden you're a magical pawn in someone else's world domination scheme. And the entity bound up in this Book of Gaff wasn't just some Johnny-come-lately spirit. It was pretty old and pretty dangerous. Stay clear, little crows. I already lost a pal, Lojinx was her name, to these low-life cultists. I'd hate to lose you, too. Later on in that year, a nationalist group in Hawaii tried to control and exploit a heavy magic site to forcefully bounce the corpse from the island. They failed, but an unintended consequence was the spiking of magic worldwide. July 24th in Japan, Renraku launches Locus Elementum, an interdisciplinary magical organization. If you haven't learned to be suspicious of corporations forming magic organizations, please go back and listen to the previous 25 episodes. Corporations suck, like vampires. Vampires drink blood. Corporations do too. And in this case, Locus Elementum not only drinks blood, but uses it too, for magic. Stay away! This has been your Groups of Mages to Avoid public service announcement. On October 28th in Shir Terengira, Crater Lake lights up again. As far as the rest of the world knows, it was just an aura, a light show. But you and I know better. What happened there unleashed magical forces that should have stayed dormant for another 100 or 1,000 years. At any rate, Ain Dupree, yes, that Ain Dupree, a very, very young-looking elf, considering, who is going to be just flabbergasted that I am airing this on a Free Matrix channel, conducted a blood magic ritual there, intended to prevent evil stuff from coming into our world. She instead caused another mana spike, which increased the levels of ambient power in our world yet again. Perhaps someday we will talk about why this is bad. But for now, stay away from Crater Lake, chummers. I would also note that this gigantic source of mana has now become a mana ebb, and you will hurt yourself and others if you try to do magic there. I am also getting reports that strange spirits, unaffected by the mana ebb, are attacking sheer soldiers there. Don't ask any more questions, little crows. I'm already on thin ice with these last two episodes as it is. And now for our Shadowing the Runners segment. Notable Shadow Runners and famous Shadow Runs. And as always, if you want to learn this stuff from your contacts rather than from me, go away. Don't get spoiled. As far as famous Shadow Runs go, everything else in 2056 pales in comparison to the sheer volume of runners hired to do extermination work on the bugs and recover pay data in Bug City. Imagine big bugs, big guns, magical mischief, and big payoffs. If you survive. That's pretty much it. But in 2056, runners were in their golden age. Yep, it was a fun time. But there were a few that stuck out and have continued to do so. For this episode, we'll talk about William McAllister, better known as Bull. He was called the best orc decker you've never met in jest, but it is proven true often enough. He's a fixer now and a regular on Jackpoint, even co-leads the group lately. But once upon a time, he was just a teenage orc with a 50-cent deck and an attitude. He and the Amarin Shaman Johnny 99 used to bang around Chicago back before the bugs, and during the bugs. Their early story reads like a How Not to Be a Shadowrunner handbook, but somewhat happily, they managed to survive long enough to make names for themselves. Wasn't until a job went bad and they were recorded on video while being forced into a scavenger hunt for their friends and family that they really took off. The video went viral and they had all the work they could ask for and became real A-listers. If you feel bored, check out the old series of Matrix-based games based on Bull the Orc Decker. I hear Wendigo Bull is super fun to play. At any rate, Bull ended up married with two twin kids, Rebecca and William Jr. When the bugs hit Chicago, they stayed a bit, then they got out of Dodge and traveled around. According to Bull, he got out by making a deal with the devil. But when the deal came back to haunt him, he lost some good friends and got out of the biz. Now he's a fixer in Seattle, works a lot with the Orc Underground there, and after the loss of those closest to him, he's a lot more grim. Some of the shine is worn off, but underneath, he is still not only the best, but the most loyal and good-hearted Orc Decker you'll ever meet. Word of caution, don't ask too many questions about his family. He won't go there, but you might end up coming face to face with the largest collection of Panther assault cannons outside of an army supply cache. Speaking of supplies, I need to supply up on some grub, little crows. Spewing truth makes me hungry. I'm headed to the Thai rice and noodle place next door for some green curry soy action. Join me if you can find me past the magical wards and such. But don't waste too much time trying, because you've already wasted an entirely good slot of time listening to the Anarchy and Podcasting Network. The music serving as the background to Audible Anarchy was written by the legend Marshall Parker and reimagined by Unanonium 88. This was the Neo-Anarchist Podcast, and I am your host, the bearable beast baron, belting ballistic ballads, belittling bellicose bemoaners, battling boring bland bees bearing bright brain blades, bleeding bombastic breaths by being basically brilliant, Opti. Enjoy your freedom! And if you forget how, just think about the last commercial you saw and do the opposite of what it tells you.